Welcome to The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families, centered on biblical truth and Catholic teaching, because God's kingdom begins at home. Now welcome your hosts, Mari, John, and Craig, here on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Welcome into The Family Room. We are so thankful that you are joining us here today. I'm Mari, and I'm here with both John and Craig. Hey, guys, how are you?
Great.
Hello.
I'm excited today because we are speaking with somebody who knows radio very well. His name is Kevin Matthews, and our producer, Dave, who is such a fabulous producer, he saves us so much, and he can make us sound really good. we keep him on our good side because he can also make us sound really bad if he wants to.
Cut our mics.
Yeah.
He can make us sound really quiet.
Yeah, exactly. But so Dave used to live up in Michigan, and he used to listen to a very, very famous radio DJ out of Chicago. And so he told us about Kevin, and Kevin has an amazing story that includes the Blessed Virgin Mary and miracles and God doing amazing things. And so we thought it would be really cool to have him on The Family Room.
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea again, once again, God meeting us right where we are and kind of leading us in unusual ways.
Yep.
And drawing us into his purpose, which is kind of cool.
I'm looking forward to it because as a fellow Chicagoan,
yes,
it's just good to hear that accent again. But seriously, I think the part about the broken, it's one of those things where everybody knows it, but nobody talks about it.
Mm. Right?
Or frequently we know it, or but we don't talk about it. So Kevin just really does an awesome job of opening all that up for us. So
yeah, and people don't feel, they feel like if they're broken, then they're too far away from God to be worthy.
Yeah.
Right?
And the devil wants us to think we're the only ones that are broken, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's as broken as you, John. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally right.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Speaking of that, John, we know you're especially gifted at prayer. So making sure God knows that that you love him and that you're always willing to talk to him no matter where and how broken you are, right? So would you open us up with prayer?
I will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come this afternoon to speak with you and to make ourselves present to you. And we ask that you be present to us, especially through your Holy Spirit, especially through the intercession of your Blessed Mother. We're going to talk a lot about the awesome work that she does today and what an agent she is of you and your Son, and an advocate of our hearts, our broken hearts, our woundedness. In the worst and darkest moments, she is there. And she loves nothing more than to bring souls back to you and Father. So we just ask you to bless this time together so that as we speak, we might do your work with her to bring souls back to you. Father, we ask this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin and in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, as Mari said earlier, we do have Kevin Matthews with us. And when we say he did radio, it's not like the three of us being on radio.
we're legit. Real radio.
Exactly. We're actually legitimately talking about a Hall of Fame inductee radio person that, you know, he was a voice for over 10 million people, weekly listeners in Chicago, really well known throughout the Midwest. He was a DJ in a rock format. He did talk show. He's actually done comedy. And interestingly enough, he's also done cameos on a few TV shows, including Baywatch, from what I understand. He looks great in a bikini, from what I've heard. He's also done a lot of different voices. So, I mean, he's just really, really talented guy. And in the process, God's used him to write a couple of books. He's the author of Broken Mary. And a book we're actually going to try to talk about, I think, today a little bit is Mary's Roadie, My Travels with Mary, the Mother of Jesus. And again, as we like to say, too, he's also the proud husband of Deborah, and he has two children and three grandchildren. Kevin, I can't see you, but I know you're there. Welcome into the show.
Oh, thanks, everybody. It's good to be on your program. Thank you for the invite.
We are very thankful. And as I said earlier, Dave was one of your biggest fans. And what he's told us about you is what we realize you could probably do this whole show without us. You could probably imitate each of us and do all the different voices and do this whole show by yourself.
Well, you know, that was a while ago, you know, but you, I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. So, you know, oftentimes we ask people to share their faith journey, and we do want to get into that. But we'd love to hear first, because I know there is kind of a juxtaposition. We'd love to hear first about your your career first, like what was going on with you in your life and your career to start us off on this conversation, and then we'll get into the faith journey part.
Well, I really, my radio career, I was going to go into education. I ended up going and getting into radio after hearing my roommate when I was a freshman at Grand Valley University in Allendale, Michigan. He was a med student, but he went to a radio station, and I followed him, if you will. It was in the student center, and I found it fascinating. And one night I was called to do a show. Somebody that was supposed to be on the air couldn't go on the air. And so I ended up doing the show, and just really, this radio station was a tiny student-run radio station, but it was very, very unique. And I just fell in love with it, and so I stayed with it. And eventually, while I was at Grand Valley, I got married, and I really got hired in a commercial radio station in Grand Rapids. And then I eventually went over to Chicago, and I worked at the iconic Loop radio station, and that was just a powerhouse. And we changed Johnny Brandmeier, Steve Dahl, Gary Meyer. You might remember Steve with Disco Demolition. And we are also the radio station of the Chicago Bulls. Michael Jordan just came into town. So we were a radio station that just everybody in Chicago, and AM 1000 was just a huge radio station, got into 32 states and Canada.
Wow.
So people just listened all the time. And in Chicago, the metro, we had over 10 million people listening to us a week. And, you know, that's where I raised my children. And my career was just, I was very blessed to be on such a great radio station. We were the Rolling Stones of radio in the country. Other radio stations would come into O'Hare Airport, get a hotel, and just listen to us, write everything down we're doing, and we just changed the face of radio throughout the country. And then, you know, eventually, decades later, Sirius XM, satellite, everything changed. And here we are today, and I've been off the air now for more than a decade. But I've also got involved in podcasting way before podcasting became popular, and doing animation. I'm doing anything I want to do. And I currently working with a friend of mine. We capture live music entertainment in a platform called Elevator Agogo. And so we're really having some impact on the music industry and whatnot. And then, of course, I am with Matthew Kelly. He's my publisher and a partner in publishing. And, you know, this is my second book that was just released 2 weeks ago. And that would be Mary's Roadie, my adventures with the Blessed Mother. And it's interesting, you know, everything in my life, of course, with this adventures of with Mary, if you will, it all really starts with God, then Christ, then Mary. And I can tell you more of that succession here a little bit later in the interview.
That's a really good segue, Kevin, to kind of what Mari alluded to in the beginning, wanted to understand your career, but then a faith piece. I mean, there's some aspect of faith that steps in and things begin to change in a pretty meaningful way. Can you talk about that a little bit without spoiling coming down the road?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, everybody, whether you believe in God or not, God has he's got control over your life. And, you know, God created you, and God, you know, it's said, you know, God knew who you were before you were born. And I look back at all this. There's no such thing as a coincidence at all. My new book, I don't have chapters. They're called dots. And what I wanted to do is, if you connect the dots, you'll realize just how connected your life is and how this is not just by chance. And, you know, I was blessed, you know. I mean, here, God is using today, in today's world, God is using everyday people, because everyday people can get the job done. And that's not to say that the church can't, but God is using people like yourself, like me, regular everyday folks to reach everyday folks. And, you know, I will tell you all right now, I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I'm not a saint. And I'm a humble human being, and I'll do whatever God wants me to do. I often have a relationship with Christ where Christ is the shepherd of shepherds, and I'm nothing more than a shepherd dog, a bruised, battered, broken little shepherd dog. And my job is just to gently take anybody who may have wandered, move them over towards Christ gently and without barking. And that's my role. I just simply have to get people to him. And I have to do it in a way, and I do it in a way where I don't preach. That's not who I am. I'm just a regular human being who's very broken, but I'm not a victim either. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all broken. Every one of us listening, from the politicians to the Pope to everything that walks the earth, we're all broken. And that's okay. We're broken. We're human beings, but we're loved by God. So, you know, I'm very humbled to be doing this. I often ask, why am I doing this? But I continue. Or, you know, especially with how Christ left me with Mary, is a question you've got to ask me, please.
well, that's kind of like where I think we want to go ultimately is like, at some point in time, their faith journey includes a pretty direct interaction, you know, as you say, no coincidences.
It's basically everything. And if you study Fatima, for example, Fatima is very dear to me. When Mary appears to three shepherd children in Portugal, Fatima, Portugal, mm-hmm. in 1917, mm-hmm. Take that miracle, if you will. Mary doesn't appear to the children first. Everything starts with God. And the miracle of Fatima starts in 1916, where God, so it's God starting this miracle, God sends the angel of peace to these three shepherd children to prepare them for what was coming. And little Jacinta and Francisco, their brother and sister, 7 and 8, and their cousin Lucia was 10. The angel of peace comes to them and tells them that something is coming to prepare for it. Now, these are very religious little children, Catholic children. They don't, you know, they're not educated. They're shepherd children. And he gives them 7 prayers from God to memorize and prepare. And then later in 1916, after giving the children these 7 prayers, the angel of peace then brings them Jesus Christ. So it's God first, followed by Jesus Christ. The angel gives them the Eucharist, the body of Christ. So it starts with God, Christ, and then in 1917, starting in May through October, our Blessed Mother comes to the children. So that's how everything starts in the world, in the biblical world, in the world of miracles. It's always God, then Christ, then Mary. And that's exactly the succession that the events in my life happened. It started with God. Then it started with Christ, literally interaction with Christ and with Mary, currently with Mary.
Well, that's a great start to this discussion. If you just joined us, you're in the family room with Craig, John, and Mari, and our awesome guest, Kevin Matthews, Mary's Roadie, his Travels with Mary, the Mother of Jesus, a book he has out that's been published through, I think, Matthew Kelly's publishing group. Kevin, why don't you, Kevin, expound on that a little bit? Because, as you said, the children were doing their own thing and not prepared for the interaction with the angel of peace, who's, I think, had been identified as Saint Michael. Your situation's no different, right? I mean, you were led to a nasty, filthy garbage dumpster. And it was in that situation that you really encountered Our Lady and you encountered God in a deeper way. Would you unpack that and talk about it with our guests?
Yeah, you know, the three little shepherd children, you got to remember that this is probably the most important messages from God to three little illiterate, uneducated, poor children. 8, 7, and 10 are given the most important messages we still have today. And that in itself is a miracle. And Fatima has so much to do with my current work. Now, before I went to that dumpster, let me go back, because the dumpster is where Christ appears to me. But before that, what was happening, I was in doing radio in Chicago. That started to fall apart. That started to fall apart. So I decided my wife and I, we're going to move back to Michigan, where my radio career started, and I'll do mornings, and I'll be, you know, I can develop radio and whatnot. Well, God has different plans. I did leave Chicago, and I went to back to Grand Rapids, Michigan in 2007, and I'm doing, you know, I thought we'd sell the house. Well, we didn't sell the house for 4 years because of the housing market. The crash happens. Mm-hmm. So now I'm commuting back and forth from Michigan to Chicago for 4 years. My life is really breaking up. I'm on the air in Michigan, and it's a Tuesday morning. I'm doing mornings back at my old radio station. And I suddenly can't move. It's Tuesday at 7:16. I can't move my arm. I can't move my leg. I thought I was really having a stroke on the air.
Yeah.
And what happened was later I got an MRI, and I found out the neurologist, she said, we think you have a brain tumor, and you have something in your brain the size of a walnut. Where it's located, we can't operate. So prepare yourself for the worst. And so for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to get a brain biopsy, and it puts it all into perspective. You know, there's no cure for this. Where it's located in my brain, they can't operate. And during that time, I finally go back. We're about ready to do a brain biopsy, and the neurologist comes in, and she says, it's not a brain cancer. It's a very rare form of MS.
Hmm.
Multiple sclerosis. So they started treatment. A really tough treatment, because they had to shrink this thing down. And so steroids and medicines, and it was horrible. And I'm still trying to do my morning show. I'm still commuting. I'm really breaking down. And it was St. Paddy's Day. And it was St. Paddy's Day, 2008. I'm back in Chicago, and I was going to go see my lawyer out in the western suburbs. So I get in my car, I get on the Eisenhower, and I'm on the Eisenhower. As soon as I get on it, I hear a voice, and the voice said, go to the cemetery. Now, I knew exactly which cemetery. The Chicago Tribune just did a big article about the apparition of Christ and Mary appearing at our the cemetery off Wolf Road, and it was Our Lady Queen of Heaven. And my wife and I back then, because people were doing it, they were going out to the cemetery, and apparitions were happening. We didn't see anything, but you did feel something at this cemetery. And it's a big article in the Chicago Tribune. So I'm on the Eisenhower, and I'm getting towards the exit, where, and I hear the voice again, go to the cemetery. So I decide I'm going to go, and I get off on Wolf Road. I go into this gigantic cemetery. It's where Al Capone is buried. It's huge. And I'm driving in the cemetery, and I go right to the apparition spot, which is now still there, and there's a giant cross that has to be, you know, 50, 60 feet in the air of Christ hanging on the cross. And it's a beautiful day. It's early in the morning. There's not a cloud in the sky. And I I'm in my car looking at this cross, and I decide to get out of the car, and I walk to the cross. And I put my hand on the feet of Christ. I have to raise my hand, and I put my hand on the feet of Christ. And for the first time, I'm not a religious. I was raised Catholic. My kids, yeah, were, you know, weekend warriors and whatnot. But for the first time since all this has happened, I put my hand on the feet of Christ, and I say to God, God, I am so afraid. Help me. Mm-hmm. And just then, water started to just get my hand all wet, and it ran down my arm. And it, suddenly, I could move my hand, and I could move my arm, and I could feel it. It was all coming back. And I remember just being able to, I put water on my head, and I could move again. And I remember just leaving, and I just got in my car, and I just left. And I didn't go see my lawyer. I went to home, and I said, Debbie, I can move my hand. Mm-hmm. You know, I can, this, it works again. And as I look back, I didn't even thank God. Mm-hmm. I abandoned him. You know, God, I'm so afraid. Help me. He helps me. And I went on about my life. Yes, I still have MS and whatnot, but my hand moves. And I'm greedy still at that point. I didn't even thank God. And my wife, we eventually sell the house. She comes over. We buy a new house. I sign a new contract. My radio station is bought out. First week of new management, the general manager said, come on down to my office. I want to talk to you. I went down to his office, and he said, you're fired.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, well, I just had signed a new contract. He said, sue us. And I couldn't. And I was out. I gave me 2 weeks severance pay. I'm out. You know, here I am now, really broken, unemployed, MS. My wife just came over. We bought a house. How am I going to, you know, feed us? What am I going to do? And that was on a Friday. The next day, Saturday, I'm driving because I just had this urge, no coincidence, to buy my wife some flowers because she's been through so much in my during our life together. We've been married 42 years now. Mm. And so I hear a voice, get your wife some flowers. I look up, there's a flower shop. So I decide to go into this flower shop. It just snowed. I've got MS. My balance isn't great. I don't want to fall. I go into this little flower shop, hear the little bell, and there's a lady in there. But before I go all the way into the store, as I'm getting out of my truck and walking towards the door, I could see over by this dumpster, this blue dumpster, that there, I could tell it was about 10 yards away, there was a statue, and I could tell that it was the Virgin Mary lying on the ground by the dumpster. And I just went over to it, and I look, and she's looking, she's on her back, she's broken in half at the waist, her hands are broken, she's covered in dirt and garbage, and she's looking up at me, and that's when I heard, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? The voice of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her, and I'm a very pathetic Catholic at that point, but I knew, you know, this is wrong. This is the mother of Christ, and this is wrong. She shouldn't be in the garbage. So I walked into the store. The lady, the clerk, said, can I help you? And I said, yes, I want to buy that statue, that broken statue of Mary by the dumpster. And she goes, no, that's not for sale. That's a family heirloom. And I heard the voice again, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? And I closed my eyes, and for the second time, I prayed. I prayed at the cross first. God, I'm so afraid, help me. Now I'm closed my eyes. I'm in this little flower shop, and I said, God, help me. And I opened my eyes, and what came out of my mouth, I have no idea where it came from, but I said, I will give money to the nuns that live out around here in your name if you give me that statue. Mm-hmm. And she looks at me, and she goes, I know your voice. You're Kevin Matthews. And I said, yes. And she goes, you got fired yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
And she goes, what happened? And I'm trying to tell her, well, you know, I said, you know, we're talking. I said, could I please buy that statue, you know, and give money in your name? And she said, go ahead and just take it. And so I went out. I didn't buy my wife flowers. I went out, and I often say, you know, I hate to talk about a woman's weight, but she's really heavy. And so I pick up one half, and literally the statue weighs close to 70 pounds, so it's almost 35 pounds. I pick up the first half, and I put her in my truck, the second half, and I make a little bed. I take her home, and I turn up the heat, and I literally remember saying, Mary, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. So I take her home, make a little bed, show Debbie. At that time in my life, I met a priest, Father Mark, who I started to go back to church, you know, just cautiously going back to church. And I called up Father Mark and I said, Father, I found this statue. Where can I get her fixed? And he told me about a monument maker, and I got her fixed in spring. In the springtime, I took her over to this monument maker, and he looked at her and said, yeah, we can put her back together. In fact, I'll put her back together. I'll paint her. I'll put new hands on her. You won't even be able to tell she's broken. And that's when for the first time in my life, I really started to cry. This big guy crying in front of this guy who's looking at me going, what's wrong with you? And I said, no, I want to keep her broken. She reminds me of me. I said, I'm so broken right now. Keep her broken. Just put the two halves together. And they did.
And Kevin, do us a favor. Hold the rest of your thought. We got to go to break right here, and we want to come back so you can finish that story.
So stay with us. We're here in the family room with Kevin Matthews.
We'll be right back in the family room, sponsored by VerSprite, right after this.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerSprite provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerSprite.com. That's VerSprite.com. The Quest thanks VerSprite for their support.
I'm Father Tony Blunt from the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity. This is one of my favorite prayers, the Act of Faith. Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches because you have revealed them to our eternal truth and wisdom, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. In this faith, I intend to live and die. Amen.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
Emotional consequences from a chemical RU486 abortion are often more severe than a surgical abortion. The abortion industry advertises that chemical abortions are easier and cheaper for women. The facts are, the woman becomes the abortionist by taking an abortion pill at home. She will typically have severe contractions and bleeding and expel the baby, usually in her bathroom. In a surgical abortion, she doesn't see the baby, but in the case of a chemical abortion, she sees the baby and must decide how to dispose of the completely formed child. The woman can be emotionally traumatized, her bathroom becoming a place of recurring flashbacks. This is extremely difficult for the woman and may cause PTSD. Knowing the truth saves lives. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
This is Lisa Popcheck from More to Life. Catholic radio changes lives. It's for you, with you, every single day. Whether you're rejoicing over something and you need a community to share that with, or you're struggling with something and you need a community to support you, we're here for you every day to teach you about your faith and to help you live it. This is your home, and we're always here for you. Thanks to our friends at EWTN, our programming is provided free of charge, but this station has other expenses that must be paid to keep the doors open and the lights on. Support of your local Catholic radio station helps keep shows like More to Life available in your area. No matter the amount, your gift works to make a difference for you, for others, and for the future of Catholic radio. Please prayerfully consider making a gift right now. We'll talk to you soon.
To donate, log on to thequestatlanta.com.
Hello, this is Father Joe Wagner, a priest of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. Thank you for listening to your Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest. God bless you.
Welcome back to The Family Room with Mari, John, and Craig. Sponsored by Verse Sprite on AM 1160, The Quest.
Welcome back into The Family Room with Kevin Matthews. And we've just been listening to his amazing story of how God reached him. And as Kevin said, everything starts with God first and then Jesus and then Mary. And he just told us an amazing story about God telling him to go to the cemetery, and right in the middle of the cemetery is Jesus. And, you know, he left Jesus without thanking him. And then only a good mother would say, hey, you need to come back to my son and talk to him some more. So then Mary enters the story. So we're going to talk about that more in just a few minutes. But before we do that, Kevin, all of our guests on the Family Room, we asked them this question. We asked them for their favorite Family Room memory. We know that, as you said, you've been married, I think, what did you say, 42 years, right?
42, yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. 42 years to Deborah. Congratulations. And you guys have 2 grown children, I'm sure, at this point, and 3 grandchildren.
Yeah. 4 grandchildren.
Oh, you've got 4 now. Yay. Yeah. 4 grandchildren. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Family Room memory? And it can be from raising your kids or current or even your own childhood.
Well, you know, again, I tell you, my chapters in the book are called dots, and you can connect the dots. And there's no coincidence at all. I remember going to my grandparents' house every summer with my mom and sister and brothers. And when I was so little, they would rock us out on the porch. And I didn't realize until I became an adult that they were rocking and saying this something. And it was the rosary.
Mm.
And, you know, they're very devoted Catholic. And I still have that rosary that my grandmother rocked me to. So the rosary has always been very important in my life. So that's the memory I have. It's no coincidence how I am so attached to the rosary. And I'll tell you all why I'm so attached, you know, in this conversation. So that's my favorite part. As little as I was, I realized that I was rocking as my grandparents recited the rosary.
Wow, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful. So let's get back to the story. In the first half, you were finishing, and you ended up with saying you left the statue of Mary broken and then tearfully said, you know, to yourself, because I'm broken. Can you pick it up from there? And
yeah, I left. I went to this monument maker, and he said, yeah, and he did put her together again, but he didn't paint her, didn't put new hands on her. I wanted to keep her broken. And I was attracted, and I took her home, and I put her in my kitchen. And to me, she was, if you saw the movie with Tom Hanks, instead of a volleyball, you know how Tom was talking to a volleyball in that movie, here I'm talking to this broken statue of the Virgin Mary. Mary, I called her Broken Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So Father Mark, a friend of mine, he did come over to my house. He blessed her. And that's really when all these miracles really started happening. And Father Mark eventually said, hey, don't you owe nuns money? Because I promised this florist I would go get money. Well, I did. And they were Franciscans, and they're still here, and they're very dear to me because they play such an important role. And what was happening is Father Mark asked me, you know, after a while, he said, Kevin, you know, because he said, this is an amazing story. Because when I went out to the Franciscan Center, I went out, took Broken Mary, I had dinner, and I got up. Father Mark said, tell him about the story. And I said, I found this statue, and we're all broken, and we're loved by God. That came out of my mouth. And Father Mark, you know, driving home, thought, that's a really beautiful homily. And so he said, he called me and he said, Kevin, if I start my homilies, will you finish them? Bring the statue and finish them. The homily is, we're all broken, we're loved by God. So, you know, I did all 3 masses. 7:30 was my first mass. I brought the statue. He introduced me. And, you know, before I get done, I heard that voice again of Christ that I heard at the dumpster. And instead of saying, will you deny me, will you deny my mother, Christ said to me, say a Hail Mary for my mother. And I remember how scared I was because I hadn't said a Hail Mary since I was in 4th grade, learning it for the first time, and I got through it. Then comes the 10 o'clock mass. I'm telling everybody, you know, how the story, and we're all broken and we're loved by God. Christ comes in, say a Hail Mary for my mother. And I get through it, flop sweat. And I actually said to Father Mark, you know, I don't want to do the 11:30 because I'm dying up here. And he said, turn around, Kevin. And people were on their knees at the statue. And so I did the 11:30 mass. I heard the voice again say, Hail Mary for my mother. I said it. But during the 7, 10, and 11:30 masses, before I got done, I also said, this statue doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you, the broken. So if you want to take her and take her to hospice or take her to emergency rooms or take her to the broken. So people started to take her. And then people would write Father Mark all these letters of what just how much peace they got from this. And Father Mark said, you know, you should write a book. And he goes, one of those Franciscans is a professor of journalism. So I did get together with Sister Lucia, and we did start to write a book. And eventually we sent the book out. Matthew Kelly brought it up. But I decided I'll take the proceeds and I'll go to Fatima, Portugal for the 100th anniversary. And it's ironic because when I did the masses with Father Mark, I found out that the day I gave that talk, three talks at mass, was October 13th.
Oh, wow.
And it's an apparition date. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we get the book out. You know, I've recorded a rosary app by now, you know, and I'm in Fatima, Portugal, with Father Mark. We went for a week, and Father did masses. I got to recite the rosary with the sister, Sister Lucia, at the apparition site. And I looked up in the Fatima statue of our Blessed Mother looking down at me, and I had come such a long way. And before I left Fatima, I was alone with this beautiful statue of Mary outside in Fatima. And I looked up at Mary, and I said, Mary, I wrote a book. I got a rosary app for you. Now what? And as soon as I said, now what, I realized how derogatory that was. And I felt something whiz by my head, and it breaks on the ground. I thought, whatever that was, if it would have hit me in the head, would have killed me. And I looked down, and it's a pine cone, and it's shattered on this brick next to my feet. And I hear our Blessed Mother say, plant the seeds of my rosary. And I still have that pine cone. Father Mark came up that after it just hit the ground. And I said, Father, how many pine cones do you see on the ground? He's looking. He thinks I'm insane anyways. And he goes, none. We're in an olive garden. And I took that, and I did plant the seeds of my rosary. And that literally has been what I've been doing. I've been taking the statue. We're all broken. We're loved by God. And also really the rosary, and the rosary is becoming just a very part of my life. I always tell people that, especially of the Catholic faith, the rosary is Mary's umbilical cord, and it's how she feeds us Jesus. And, you know, Mary wants us to recite her rosary because the rosary is the gospel of Christ, the story of Christ from birth to him in walking for 33 years on earth, the execution, coming back. And it's very, very powerful. And, you know, and what has happened, that first book was written and I had to write a second one because of just all the miracles that have happened. And especially in the day and age that we are living in now, God is the most important thing it should be in your life. Everyone listening, either you were with God or you're not. And especially in the world that we live in today, there's hope. He's coming back. I mean, you know, God is real. God, these aren't puppets. You know, this is real. God is coming back. And are you ready? Again, I'm just that shepherd dog that gently moves people towards Christ. And I hope, you know, that people prepare themselves. Christ loves us. God loves us. You can be the worst sinner on earth. You can be the most broken. God loves the most broken, and it's not God who's breaking people. You know, I'm tired of people saying, you know, that God sends us to hell. No, we do. Mm-hmm. We send ourselves to hell. And God is a loving God. God is always there. At the cross, when I left God, he didn't abandon me. He just waited for me to come back. And God is always there. God will love you until you have your last breath. And hopefully it'll be, God, forgive me. You are just here to just repent. Be nice to yourself. You know, forgive yourself. We're all broken, and God loves the brokenness.
Yeah. Kevin, there's so many parts of your story that I love. You know, I love the fact that, first of all, you know, our God is a God. He's a creator. That's the very first thing that he did, was create. And he made you an incredibly creative person. And you got to use your creativity in the secular world for quite a few years. But it's so fascinating, as you tell your story, all the ways that God has used your genius of creativity to serve him and to answer his call in all these beautiful ways. Yeah.
That's how come what I'm doing now. And again, you know, I love to come and speak, and if people want me to come, they can go through Catholic speakers. And because you're all based out of Atlanta, right?
Right.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. See, being in Chicago for so long, I'm very good friends with Kevin Butler, who was the kicker of the Chicago mm-hmm. Bears. He does radio now for the Georgia Bulldogs. And Kevin's a Catholic, and so I'd love to come into Atlanta and bring the statue and talk. You know, that's what I do. I'm Mary's roadie. You know, just when I think, okay, she's all done, you know, the phone rings. And it's a very beautiful work and message. You know, it's not me, it's God.
Well, I think just one of the things that Amari points out, you bring out a lot of amazing things. And when you say he's coming back, God is coming back. And I think we've all seen, you know, the signs that say Jesus is coming, and boy, is he mad. Right. And that's really not the message at all. Mm-hmm. That Jesus is coming, and it's not coming like there will be wrath and there'll be reckoning, but his fondest desire is that not one of these given by the Father should be lost, right? So when he's coming back, he's hoping that there's a whole lot of Kevins out there nudging people back into the sheepfold, if you will. I heard that message, or that's what came to mind. And then the fact that you have this great devotion to Mary, I think maybe the question that I have is, how have you seen this devotion to Mary maybe working in your life and maybe in some other folks? It's clear that you're using her, but maybe share a couple of scenarios where she stepped in and brought some folks back to her son as you wanted to do.
Oh yeah. There's no question. You know, again, I am so tied to Fatima now, and the folks I have met down in Fatima and whatnot. And, you know, I've also had people ridicule me and tell me I'm going to hell because I love Mary. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, I say, well, I'm never going to out-love Mary more than her son did, you know, and it hurts me when I hear that, because Christ is hearing that too. Oh, she was just a woman. No, she wasn't. You know, she's the mother of all that is. God created Mary. You know, and I look at Mary, and I know so many people, Mary intercedes for those who think they're so broken they can't go to God. You know, when I was little, and anybody listening, if I got in trouble, I went to my mom. You know, I always went to my mom. Mary is just, she could intercede. She, you know, she was the first disciple. She was the first tabernacle. You know, her womb held Christ, and she was with the disciples. And the disciples were a bag of, they were a mess. I mean, God chose guys that were such in disarray, but he loved the broken, and they all were differently broken. And yet Mary plays a part, because, you know, when Christ is hanging from the cross and John is there with Mary and looks down and says, behold your mother, behold your son. That is God saying to the world, before I go, this is your mother. She is the mother of our church. And I absolutely adore Mary. You know, and at that dumpster, too, when I found the statue. It was though Jesus said, Kevin, I'm going to leave you with my mother, and she's going to clean you up. Hmm. And that's exactly what she did. And that's what I write about in these two books. And I'm very proud of these two books. And again, you can get them, you know, at Amazon.com or Dynamic Catholic. I'm not here to sell books, but this journey of hope has been beautiful, and it's not ending, especially in the world we live in today. Look around, folks. Look around. Either you are with him or you're against him. Mm-hmm. And you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And there's consequences if you don't.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and we will put in the show notes, we'll put both of your books. We'll put...
Mari, who are we talking to?
Yes. So listeners, we're here with Kevin Matthews, and he's written two books, Mary's Roadie, My Travels with Mary, the Mother of Jesus. That's his latest book that just came out in July. And then he also wrote a first book called Broken Mary about that first experience that he just shared with us, too. But we'll put both of this in our show notes, and we'll also let you know CatholicSpeakers.com, I think it is.
Yeah. Yes, CatholicSpeakers.com, and you can ask for Wendy, and she'll take care of you. They're great. They're really great. They've been a big help.
Kevin, I got to tell you, you just struck something that I never thought about in contemplating Christ's crucifixion, but when he gave Mary to us through John at the cross, she was broken. I mean, in her nature, she had to be totally broken. So what you're doing is this corollary to John. He took her in. He took care of her. I'm sure he took her out into the world.
The one thing about she was broken, yes, that was her son who was murdered in front of her. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember that Mary, early in when Jesus is just 40 days old and Joseph, and Mary take Jesus mm-hmm. to the temple, the church, and the priest says, this is the Son of God, and your suffering begins now. Mm-hmm. You know, not only at that time, but Herod, is looking now for any newborn baby right. and has them slaughtered. So Mary's suffering begins there. But at the same time, at the cross, she also crushes the head of Satan at that cross, because yes, she's broken, she's sad, but she's also lived through this experience too. And it's really solidified when he returns on the third day. So I guess that's one of my favorite disciples happens to be John. I love John. And you know, I guess it's because he did take care of Mary, you know, and
hey, you're living that life today.
Yeah.
I think anybody, you know, I'm not going to outlove Mary more than Jesus.
Let's use that, though, Kevin, as a clarifying point, too, because we do have some non-Catholic listeners, and we have plenty of Catholic listeners that may be confused. You know, we don't worship Mary whatsoever. You know, we honor her, and we hold her in high esteem. And as you said, and I like the way you said it, nobody's ever going to outlove Mary like Jesus does. And he expects us to love his mother. He's put her in that position to mediate between, you know, our brokenness and him. And like you said, I love the picture, too, of, you know, as a child, you're going to mom first. She's going to be tender. She's going to be nice. She's going to be gentle.
At the same time, I think it almost Christ takes a look. His head kind of tilts a little bit. You know, because I've had people, you know, you worship Mary. And I go, do you have a mother? And they go, yeah. Well, do you worship her? Well, yeah. And I'm never going to deny my love for Mary. I love Mary. And I look at Mary, if you are married out there, folks, and you ever, during your wedding, you had the last dance with your mother, that I'm reminded of me when I say my rosary, I'm having that beautiful dance with Mary. And the rosary is the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm celebrating the love of Christ and God our Father through the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yeah.
You know, I think people overthink things in religion. You know, they have a little flag like football refs, and they constantly are throwing it down. You are missing such a beautiful opportunity when you say such harsh words against Mary. You know, I love her to death. And it's like I said to Christ many times when I wake up in the morning, hey, Jesus, I have your mother's back. Okay, I've got her back. And, you know, I'm not going to let anybody hurt her.
Yeah, that's great. And,
yeah, so.
So, and you also said it really well. You said that, you said it's God first and then Jesus and then Mary. And, you know, as the only mother in this room, I'll speak from that perspective. You know, what I would say is Jesus, Mary's only goal is to bring people to her son. That's her only goal. Yeah, her only goal is to bring people. And as a mom, you know, I've got a son. I love to introduce people to my son. I love to show people, you know, introduce them and say, this is my son. He's awesome. I love my son. He's amazing. Well, if Jesus was my son, can you even imagine, right? So that's she does. That's what she does. I do want to go back. I really want to make sure we do give listeners a taste of your books. Can you share with us maybe one or two of the miracles that other people have told you about?
I was speaking, and I had the statue of Mary, and I'm about ready to go on, and the church is packed. And I saw this woman in the crowd, and I went up to her, and I had this rosary, and I said, Mary wants us to come to the statue and say three Hail Marys. Now, people, you know, wow, there's Kevin Matthews, what he's doing. He brings up this woman, and we say three Hail Marys, and I turned to her, and I said, you're going to be okay. And then after the talk, I found out this woman has had breast cancer and is undergoing breast cancer, and her name's Cor. I talk about her in the new book, and she's completely in remission. Mm. And now she starts this group, this rosary group, for women who are battling breast cancer. And there was that. Also, in preparation of going to Fatima, I always say the rosary every month to these parochial kids at St. Anthony's Parish. And a friend of mine, a sister in Portugal, Fatima, Sister Angela, she just wrote a book called Inside the Light. And I can remember I was getting ready to recite the rosary in front of all these little kids. And I went over to the tabernacle and I put my rosary on the tabernacle and I said, God, would you be our light today? And I'm reciting the rosary and somebody took a picture of me reciting the rosary in front of these kids. And you can see the tabernacle is illuminated with this bright light, and it's in the book. This second book that I wrote is Matthew Kelly, for the first time in his publication history, included pictures, and the picture of the tabernacle is in that book. I had to include pictures so people could see some of the miracles that have happened through this statue, God, and it's beautiful.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So, we've got about a minute and a half. I know that you would like to close us with prayer. I'm almost thinking that it's the rosary. It's the Hail Mary.
Let me just, everyone, if you will, through God and through Christ, let's honor his mother, because God created Mary. Mary created Christ. And I would love to pray for the unborn.
Yes.
The unborn, the innocents, the unborn, and what's happening to the unborn can't be put into words. So to honor life and Mary, who gave birth to Christ, let's end this with a Hail Mary in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, a sinner, now and at the hour of my death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Kevin, we have really thoroughly enjoyed having you here in the family room with us. We will get in our show notes your books, both Broken Mary as well as Mary's Roadie, My Travels with Mary, the Mother of Jesus.
And we got to get them to town.
Yep, and CatholicSpeakers.com.
Yeah, please do, and I can snag Kevin Butler because he's a good little Catholic, too.
That's awesome. Well, we've got a lot of listeners out there. We've got some people here in this room, I know, who would be really interested in having you and Kevin speak. Okay. That would be such a blessing. So God bless you, and thank you for being on with us today.
Yeah, and God bless the work that you're all doing. Seriously, it's very powerful. And just when you think you're not doing enough or as people listening, you'd be surprised. So, you know, you're doing beautiful work, and God loves you.
Thank you for your encouragement.
Yes, thank you. And listeners, we thank you as well. Please join us again here next week in the Family Room, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families.
Thanks for hanging out with us in the Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright. For more info, go to thequestatlanta.com.